That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. Well, that's what she said.
Welcome to That's What She Said, conversations with interesting people from the world of sports, music, comedy, and more, talking about their lives, careers, successes, and failures. Hey, everybody, welcome to the latest edition of That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. Excited for you to hear my conversation with filmmaker Gabe Polsky. He is just releasing a documentary, In Search of Greatness, that looks into what makes certain athletes greater than others, whether that greatness is something that can be nurtured or is natural. Are they born with it? Are they made to be great? And he talks to a ton of high-end athletes, Wayne Gretzky, Pele, Jerry Rice, and delves into the things that they did in their youth that helped make them great, and maybe the ways that people are not nurturing greatness in other youth athletes. And it actually opens nationwide theatrically November 2nd. So if you're listening to this, you can search around for In Search of Greatness and see if it's in theaters near you. It was added to a top 10 docs to watch in Oscar contention by a reporter at The Hollywood Reporter. And they also are working with Now This and some youth sports organizations and grassroots partners, including Boys and Girls Clubs, to try to create a movement around some of the themes of the film. And I really enjoyed my conversation with Gabe. It was sort of unexpected. The movie and the documentary is fascinating look, and I came up with so many really interesting thoughts and ideas about it while I was watching it. So many things that I maybe hadn't thought about before in considering greatness in sports. So it was interesting to see where he came from, what his background was, and why he was motivated to make the movie. And I love that Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech is in there with the right perspective on it instead of the one that I always hear. You'll have to watch the film to get that. But here's my conversation with filmmaker Gabe Polsky.
That's what she said.
Excited to bring in director Gabe Polsky, whose latest film, In Search of Greatness, examines what makes athletes greater than others and whether greatness is more nature or nurture. Creativity, what role does that play in the greatest athletes we've ever seen? Was just named top 10 docs to watch in Oscar contention by a reporter at The Hollywood Reporter. Opens nationwide theatrically on November 2nd. Let's start with the idea that inspired this, Gabe. There's been a lot of movies and documentaries, of course, about great athletes. What makes yours different, and how did you decide you needed to tell this story that hadn't been talked about before?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up, you know, playing competitive sports, and I ended up playing Division I hockey. So I've been thinking about these things for a long time. Basically, you know, what is greatness, and sort of how it can be cultivated, but I just felt like, you know, growing up, for some reason that, you know, we're kind of missing the point about what is greatness. Basically, I would go to the stadium and watch kind of players who I thought were incredibly creative and were doing things that, you know, no one was doing, things that you've never seen before, the artistry, and that's really what got me out of the chair and like so happy and sort of felt like that experience was worthwhile at the stadium, right? But then when you go back to your own practice and you start doing things that you saw, you know, in the stadium, you sort of get reprimanded. So in other words, you know, creativity and kind of that artistry wasn't necessarily something that coaches were encouraging, at least when I was growing up. In fact, you know, oftentimes you're sort of, if you didn't conform, you were kind of punished. And so I saw this, and it got worse and worse as I kind of got higher and higher kind of levels of playing hockey, and I think this kind of happens in any sport, you know, across the board, and I just felt like there wasn't enough sort of appreciation for that creativity, because really, in my mind, the essence of these great athletes is their creativity, you know, and it really isn't something, for some reason, people are talking about in the context of sport, so it led to kind of a painful ending to my athletic career, and it sort of always stuck with me. So this idea and sort of why isn't it sort of this? Why aren't people talking more about this? If it's really the essence of it. So I, you know, when I got the skills and tools to be, you know, a great filmmaker, you know, this is something that I've always kind of had on my, in my heart and on my chest, that I needed to get out and express. And so, Yeah, so I knew that no one, you know, was going to be interested in what I had to say personally, obviously. So, you know, the only way to get the message across, in my opinion, was to go to the greatest athletes of all time and see for themselves, you know, what do they think greatness is, and sort of take a look very deeply in a way I think people haven't seen before these athletes interviewed, I think, and kind of understand it on a different level and hopefully redefine how we understand sport.
You've got some really big names, Wayne Gretzky, Jerry Rice, Pele among them. How do you go about securing those very, very high profile, some of the greats of all time, and convince them that your movie is worth it when they get so many requests?
Yeah. I mean, that was the challenge. If I look back, it's sort of, I don't even want to look back because it was so kind of painful. But, you know, it's just a lot of no's. You get a lot of no's, and then you got to persuade and talk to the management and really get them to understand, you know, where you're coming from, what kind of skills you have to tell something different. You know, because these athletes, they don't need this. They don't need anything. In fact, anything that they do can be a detriment to their legacy, right? Because they already are the greatest. Like, what's the point, right? If there's risk, right? So they have to really believe in your vision, and obviously it's hard to communicate what this movie's about because it's about a lot of things, you know, and it's hard to pitch it in one sentence. You know, if you say, oh, it's about greatness, that's like really cheesy of a pitch, you know? So it's, you know, I don't know. It's sort of a, I guess, an intuitive process, and you just got to keep going and going and going. And it took about a year to get all these guys, and I didn't get them all at once. I would get one, I would shoot it, and then kind of start thinking about the story, and it helped me, you know, approach the next interview because I was able to be incredibly focused. I didn't have much time with these guys, you know, so I had to really know what I was going after.
I know you said you were, in another interview, you went after Serena Williams, couldn't get her. You wanted Michael Jordan, couldn't get him. But, you know, it's interesting because you said you needed to convince these guys that it was something different. But you intentionally included an element in the film where it's pre-taping. You're getting Wayne Gretzky mic'd up, and you ask him, you know, do you know anything about this documentary? And he said, no. And he said, I can answer your questions better if I'm not thinking. And that completely fit into the story that you were trying to tell about rigidity sometimes limiting greatness or even creativity. And so it fit right there. But then who was it in Wayne Gretzky's camp that you had to convince? Because if he didn't know anything about it, somebody had to have been convinced.
It's a great question. It's a great question. So that is the funny irony is that you would think, first of all, he saw my last movie, Red Army, at the Toronto Film Festival, so he knew and he loved it, and we talked backstage and he was super excited about that, and so I thought, oh, okay, this guy knows who I am, he kind of, you know, would be really excited. But the truth is that I guess it never got to him, and I think that all of these athletes that I interviewed, they didn't even know what I was doing. They somehow it just got to their management, and I guess they convinced them enough to set it up, you know. But turns out, like, on the flip side, like, I guess he didn't know anything about it, which surprised me. I was like, okay.
They were like, all right, you're going
to
do this one.
Why did you agree to do that?
Yeah, you're going to do this one. All right, why? Well, we scheduled it for you, so show up and we'll see what happens. We like this one.
Which is
how their lives work a lot, I bet.
I think, yeah. Either that or the management just said, you know, oh, this is something a little bit different. Yeah, we'll do it for an hour, you know, no problem or something.
Right. Let's talk about, you start out a lot with stuff about the combine and how basically Rice and Gretzky, and if you look at some of the best quarterbacks that are in NFL right now, Breeze, Brady, Wilson, Rodgers, these are all guys that got kind of overlooked, in part because of this idea of looking at the combine or these numbers as more important than what you gut feeling about someone is. And I love Epstein's comment, making something important because we can measure it instead of measuring it because it's important. Talk to me about that. Feels like almost a little seed that the entire film was built around.
It is, because I think too often, people sort of who are the gatekeepers, they themselves don't even trust themselves what they're looking for. They don't understand what greatness is, and they're scared. They're cowardly and sort of look to numbers to as an excuse. Say, oh, well, the numbers said, you know, that he, you know, I was just going by the numbers, you know, and that way you're not as accountable. But really, true greatness is not in the numbers. It is an intuitive, you know, feeling about a human being and sort of down the line, sort of creativity, sort of understanding, does this person see the field, the full field or ice and understand the game and anticipate? Do they sort of, what is their personality, their you know, their soul, you know? And then that's a real human. I mean, instead of studying the numbers, people should be studying kind of psychology or philosophy and really understanding people and you know, deeply. You know what I'm saying? That's right. What I feel where the competitive advantage really is. Because you look, and as you see in the film, you know, these guys in the combine are not, you know, they're not sort of, you can't just look at them and say, oh yeah, this is the guy, he's going to be the guy, Tom Brady or whatever, you know. And so you see this it's almost a rule of thumb now, like you're never going to find greatness in sort of an amazing physical specimen, you know.
Right. Well, what's interesting to me is as I was watching that part, I was remembering an interview that Theo Epstein did with David Axelrod on his podcast, talking about how he is very aware of analytics and the numbers, and he does use these sort of advanced proprietary video games to figure out reaction time and weather guys. And he used that very specifically with Kyle Schwarber to understand that this guy had an incredible reaction time and was going to be a great hitter. But he also loved the fact that Schwarber really wanted to be a catcher, and they decided to invest and allow him the time to continue to train there, even though they knew pretty well it wasn't going to be where they used him, because they didn't want to snuff out that fire that caused for him to continue to push at that position. And that to me speaks to kind of what you're saying, which is this idea of like, it can't always be about this particular moment right now is rigidly what we believe will help later. It has to also be an understanding of the athlete as a person and what motivates them beyond just the skill set that they need to have.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. Yeah. You know, you mentioned in the film, why not just study Gretzky? But isn't he the exception, not the rule? Aren't the intangibles of someone like a Gretzky, where his size is so surprising, or a Drew Brees, isn't the intangibles something that you almost can't study?
Yeah, I mean, but that's, again, the irony is that, you know, if when I was a kid, if you go and you study Gretzky, right, you get tapes, whatever, and you start to really kind of take it apart. What is he doing? How is he seeing the ice? Whatever. And you start trying to do that. I mean, it kind of works, because I started to do that. But what happens is that coaches see that you're doing something different, and they immediately say, no. What are you doing? You're standing over there. You got to do this. You got to do my system. You got to, and it just snuffs it right out. But I couldn't believe that. It's like, but that's the great thing about statistics, is that at least, like, you could say, hey, well, just don't worry what I'm doing. Like, I'm more productive than everyone else,
right?
You know, on the team. You could point to that and say, hey, listen, okay, I know you don't understand my style, but at least I'm productive. You know, cause so in that sense, like, look at Gretzky. Statistically, like, you can't argue with it. Okay, you don't like my style, but I'm shattering records. Okay, what do you want? So. Yeah, I mean, like, but that's the thing, is that you look at these guys, everybody says, oh, no, don't do that, no, he's just the exception, he's sort of this weird case, it's an anomaly, but really, you just do my system and everything will be good. But these guys, like, if you're great, you'll never, you can never just be sort of a robot in a system. You have to have a sense of agency, and you have to be able to express your artistry. And the same is with filmmaking too, you know?
Yeah, and I think part of that too is we have become comfortable analyzing data, but we're still in the world of sports not as comfortable analyzing psychology. We can talk about having a mental sports coach and we can talk about all that stuff, but we're not as invested still in mental health or even in the psychological means by which an athlete succeeds as much as we are. And these are the numbers that we know and trust. And that's where this movie is really interesting, because it gets into that. You know, one of the things you talk about is learning a sport like you learn a language, which is implicitly, you don't have to fully understand it to immerse yourself in it and have your body just take it over the way we learn how to talk. You know, combining the idea of allowing for creativity and learning implicitly with the idea that inherently in sports there is structure. If you're a coach, you can certainly try to see if someone's creativity is expressing itself in effective ways. But there's also just kids who go stand in a corner and count butterflies, right? Like, so how do you balance that?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because I've shown the film to, like, a lot of different kinds of people, and it's so funny to see the reaction of, like, let's say a football player versus, like, you know, a basketball player, right? Because football players tend to be way more structured and on time and like, rigid, because the game itself is, like, kind of, you know, it's planned plays. You got to execute impeccably and timing and all that. So there, what I'm saying here is that, and a basketball player is more, you know, it's more improvisational. Things are changing. You don't have set plays. You kind of do, but not really. Same thing with hockey. So my point is that everybody is different in their mind, and that's kind of talked about in the film with Red Auerbach saying, you know, you never have this. It's great in life that not everyone's the same. You know, some people, they need more structure, and they're kind of, that's how they function, or they, like, go off the rails, right? And then other people, they just can't take it at all. And you have to know that, but those people tend to be the great, in certain ways, the you know, the ones that we want to see, the greatest, you know. And I do think that not everybody can be the greatest of all time. And I think, yeah, it's like, I don't know, I'm a little bit going on a tangent, but these are all sort of facts and truths that we just have to kind of understand about people and not push. You know, one of the main messages in this film is that, you know, greatness cannot be manufactured. It can't be forced or pushed or, you know, the moment you try and control it and name it and label it, you've already lost it, because greatness is on the one hand, it is an anomaly, and that's by definition what greatness is. And you'll never be able to, like, you don't want a copy of Wayne Gretzky, but there'll be another Gretzky, but it'll take other forms, you know?
Well, one of the examples you used, both with Gretzky and the way that he learned with tennis balls through his dad, or tracing the puck as he watched the games, that plus the German soccer fact, which was when they looked at the highest level players and then the players one level below, the only real difference they could find is that the highest level players had been given more time for unstructured play in the streets, on a beach, on a field, versus within organized youth sports. But at the same time, Gretzky went to youth hockey. He started very young. So while we talk a lot about kids needing to stay in multi-sport and have fun and not be over-scheduled, there is this idea of, like, the best we've ever seen. Oftentimes, we can find footage of them at a very young age already very invested in the sport they became great at.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but I could tell you for sure that, you know, obviously we need to, you know, look you got to be in organized sport and in games and you know, on travel teams and go to practice and sort of work with your teammates. But it's also a fact that you just can't be great unless you're experimenting constantly and really playing in an unstructured way. You know, I mean, that's the most fun. I'll tell you again, from personal experience, you know, those days, I lived in a town in Chicago that had an outdoor rink, and not many other towns had it. And I still, to this day, think that was the greatest time of my life, and it's where I developed every skill. It's the reason why I got recruited to play Division I hockey. It's because that's where I developed that kind of unique talent.
Right, and that's more instinct for the sport and intelligence and understanding. It's not.
It's also
about
fun. It's playing. The game is about playing a game. Like, you learn by playing. Yeah, you're not like, and then people take it to the next level. Oh yeah. But my son, he plays like 90, 100 game seasons. That's like insane too. It's like, okay, you don't need to play that much. You know, like you need to develop your mind beyond sort of the hockey bubble. You gotta take in a lot of other things to be a well-rounded person, and kind of, you know.
Yeah, you said earlier that it's sort of this rigidity and lack of creativity or understanding the freedom of the athlete within the concept of a team sort of resulted in a sad end to your career. What happened? What did you mean by that?
Basically, you know, I had a very, in college, at Yale, I had a very conservative coach that was systems oriented and like, defensive, and everyone's got to do this certain thing. And, there's two things that happened. A, I think that it kind of, everybody lost kind of a love of the game because it was just so like rigid in a way. And I think he got like very, like, I think he got like maybe 20% out of what my teammates could have done. And I think, you know, I just lost the love. And basically I lost the love of the game because, you know, there's nothing to play for. What's fun about just doing, you know, being a robot.
Right.
And plus it wasn't really effective.
Yeah. There's the great story from Gretzky talking
to
his dad.
And I didn't play very much because I wouldn't compromise
buy in. Yeah.
My ability, you know, it's like I compromise, you know, but there's a level that, you know, you just.
Right. There's the great story of him, Gretzky, talking to his dad about a team that they were losing to consistently at youth league. And the dad said, they're better than you as a team. They follow all these structures. None of those kids are going to make the NHL because they play within a system that is not the way to learn and make talent better at that age. And he was right. None of those kids made it, and five kids off of Gretzky's team ended up in the National Hockey League. And there is this – it's interesting because would you say that when you were pitching this to, say, investors or even to the athletes that you wanted to talk to, did you have a thesis? Because to me it feels like so much of what your movie is telling us is also telling you to that the questions that you're asking can't really be answered.
I did have a thesis. I did. I'm not going to, like – you know, again, this isn't a paper. This is entertainment. It has to work on kind of a creative level and all that. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of knew where I was going with it. The question was, were these athletes going to sort of respond to it? You know, maybe they believed in something else. So, I mean, the question is, should I – I think it kind of this film's about a lot of many different things, and I always say it's just as much about like mental health and happiness as it is about you know, greatness or anything like that. But I think, you know, that I think that creativity plays through kind of parenting, through, you know, your genetics and weaknesses, through psychology. It's this sort of running through line through the film. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's just a lot of takeaways in this movie. It's the kind of movie that, you know, coaches, players, teams, when they go together, there's so much to talk about and think about. And I could tell you a lot of coaches and parents, after these screenings, they sit there and they scratch their heads.
Right.
Because they think about, what are they doing? And are they doing things that are leading to, A, good results, and B, happy and healthy kids? And
totally.
Or themselves and what they're doing. We're all, I mean, this is the kind of fundamental question in life. It's sort of, how can I be as good as I can be and happy? But I did it in a way that's not cheesy. It's unique.
Hey, everybody, don't forget to go to ESPN and Apple Podcasts and subscribe to That's What She Said with Sarah Spain so you always have the latest episode. Don't forget to rate and review it as well and tell all your friends how awesome it is.
What were there moments when Pele or Jerry Rice or Gretzky or anybody else, their answers to things either surprised you and were different than what you expected, or even in some ways turned the movie in a different direction than you had anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, I this is what I tell people, and it's 100% true, is that I don't put anything in my films that isn't surprising to me or interesting in a new way. I get bored very easily with films and just anything. And so if something's in the film, it means that, wow, okay, this is something new. This is a little bit different. It's sort of or there's an expression that Gretzky makes that, or a reaction to something I ask that's more human or strange, or, you know, and I put it in. If it feels like it's something I've already heard before, it's out. You know what I'm saying? And that's just basically how I make film.
So one of the interesting things you mentioned...
Everything's sort of surprising in a way. All these little anecdotes and things like Gretzky remembering every play of every game. And
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff. So
Earlier when we were talking about the idea of like fitting in a system, you know, Mo Bamba was just on LeBron James' show, The Shop, and one of the things that he pointed out was something we've heard before in sports, this idea of teams being worried that a player is too smart or too interested in things other than just the sport that they're in. And that's usually, I think, about control.
Absolutely.
It's not right. It's about if you like other things and you're too smart, and you talk about it in the movie, as someone who was one of those athletes in every sport I played, asking the coach, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Or you said last week this, and now you're saying this, and they don't go together. And I would frustrate the hell out of them. But like, that's an interesting angle on all the athletes that you profile, is they wanted to understand it instead of just follow what they were told.
Well, here's the truth. This is the truth that I believe. Okay. I believe that, I don't know what the percentage is, but a great majority of the coaches are sort of fearful people, okay? And they're not particularly that intelligent. And basically that leads to, you know, the kind of issues that we see. When somebody's fearful and not just comfortable in their skin and sort of accepting that certain, you know, that they want to control everything, that's because they're insecure of themselves and they feel threatened, you know, whereas these people are misunderstood. They're not trying to threaten you, or they're just trying to communicate in a different way and you know, express themselves, you know, it's that fear and control leads to kind of destruction of the athlete. So for instance, like Odell Beckham, I don't know a lot about all the stuff that's going on. I sort of read a little bit here or there that people are frustrated with him, or he's this or that. I mean, the guy's an artist. He's the reason why people spend money. You get rid of a guy like that, what do you have? Who's going to the stadium to see coaches? Nobody.
Right.
Okay? They're going to see Odell Beckham because he's an artist. And so you have to appreciate that, you know, that these guys, they might think a little bit differently. And not that they're not trying to be prima donna. They need a little bit of space, and they need somebody who can help nurture them and sort of get the most out of it. You know, they're and so if you try and control a guy like that, you're destroying football, or, you know.
Or whatever they do. Yeah, one of the things Epstein mentions, David Epstein, who I have not yet read the book, but when it came out, I was, you know, fascinated by the concepts in his book, The Sports Gene, which was about the effects of, you know, genetics and sports training on athleticism and, you know, nature versus nurture in terms of training for athletes. But he talked about someone's concept of mastery or greatness, which is that you need the ability to learn quickly. And then also this great turn of phrase, which is a rage to master something. So an obsession that borders on rage, like unhealthiness. And what we're finding is that sometimes that manifests itself in ways that are hard to control. Odell Beckham Jr. is a good one. Terrell Owens is a great example, right? Of this person who is one of the greatest of all time, but within a team concept, the way he sees the game, which helps him be great at it, also makes him hard to work with.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that stands out is Gretzky saying, you know, if you tell a kid to practice 6 hours a day, they probably won't want to, just because you tell them then you'll be Gretzky. But if you're Wayne Gretzky and your dad's saying go to the movies and you say, no, I'd rather be outside and practice for 8 hours, then it's a rage to master. It's within you. And maybe that's that intangible that's the least able to be tracked, but the most important when we talk about greatness.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, you could call it so many things. You could call it OCD or whatever, or you could call it like a complete joy and love for what you're doing and the process of it, you know. And these guys, they all do really love it, you know. And it becomes like an OCD or whatever. It's funny, you know. If you become obsessed with, like, let's say you're 50 years old and you're obsessed with, like, trains or something, or, like, something that's considered weird, then you're, like, kind of, like, you're weird. You're kind of, I don't know what the word is, like, you're just strange. Maybe, like, they think you're mentally ill or something. But, of course, if it's football or something,
right,
you know, oh, that's okay, you know. Whereas I think it's kind of weird, and nothing against somebody, but for a guy that's just, like, literally looking at scores on the newspaper and just scores, I none of that stuff interests me, not even the least.
Right, without the stories.
That could be,
it's just the numbers.
Crazy,
right,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so, what was also interesting is some of the, like, and that's what makes the film so good, and I guess why the answers aren't easy. Like, you know, you might be searching for something that doesn't exist in terms of a thesis with an answer to it, but, you know, Gretzky talking about how he could be in the middle of a game and he would know exactly where his family was sitting, whether they went to go get popcorn. You know, one of my friends who's a two-time Olympian in the pole vault, in between vaults, would just read, like, Glamour magazine.
Yeah,
she would
totally
find these ways to take herself out of it. And so many sports experts would tell, okay, you need to visualize every play.
Yeah,
you need,
exactly.
You need to only be focused. But for some people,
of course, they've never done it themselves and been
right.
successful. You know, the thing is that I always remember is that the less I tried, the more I would score in
yeah.
hockey. I could almost at will sometimes in the right stage of my life, like where you literally as relaxed as you can, and you just let yourself express yourself without thinking, without any of that. It's almost like that kind of state. And then the interesting is then people say, oh, it looks like you don't even care, or something like that. Like, you're not trying, but then how come I've got more points than you?
Right. Right. Well, it's that
they confuse it with that you're not trying or you don't
effort.
Care, where it's just
right.
you're, that's how you do it.
It's,
you know,
it's
look
the
at
freedom. Yeah.
The guy was in during a game. I would study it. He would be completely removed from a play a lot of the time. Like he was floating around like a ghost, and then all of a sudden, boom, goal, boom, assist, boom, this. He'd have 5 points at the end of a game, and it looked like he just would show up at the right time. You know, because
yeah.
he understood the game. He didn't have to chase the puck around.
Well, and it's like you mentioned before, the freedom. Part of that is that if you let the training do the work, then by the time you get to the game, if you just relax, all of that should come out with
exactly.
your, you know, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I also was so glad you included Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. I actually wrote a piece on that after it came out, and I was surprised at all the reactions, because it felt to me like MJ was telling us what we'd seen throughout
exactly.
his entire career. He was just reiterating the point that he'd made to us. And when it came out on the court, we all loved it. And when it came out in a speech,
yeah.
people wanted to criticize it. But
exactly.
that was what made him who he was.
Exactly.
And he's an interesting guy, because
I just love that. I mean, I really just, you know, because Jordan didn't want to do the film, or he
right.
didn't even know about it. Again, his management. And so I was like, okay, this film, there's no film without Michael Jordan if you're talking about greatness, you know. And I just sort of, you know, I sort of in my soul thinking, okay, what is this guy? Who is he? What is he about? What is his essence? And I came to that, and I did something creative with it. And really, I just thought, how do I capture this guy's essence? Where does he belong in the film? And you know, I tried to do something interesting and exactly what I thought he was about. And that's
yeah.
what,
and it was interesting to put that back-to-back with Gretzky asking him about his competitiveness, because there is a moment where he admits to reading and remembering people who doubted him, but he seems far less about having something to prove or being enraged with competition, whereas that was so clearly what drove Michael. And that's just another point in the film.
Yeah.
It's like the way greatness manifests itself and
exactly.
what drives one person may not be the same
yeah,
as another.
Yeah, and that's why you said, listen, Sarah, you said, well, there's no real answer. It's not like, you know, but the thing is that I do provide very sort of a clear perspective. And but yeah, but greatness is like, it's different in every way, in different forms, and not everybody's the same. You can't, the moment, see, you're trying to like categorize everything. Okay, how do we put a formula around greatness and, you know, so that we could keep creating and whatever? And it's formless in a way, and you can't. That's the whole point, is that, you know, let's not try and like manufacture it. Let's be open to it and understand how it unfolds, but not try and manufacture it, because then you will never do it. You'll never produce it.
Yeah, and I think the point about athletes being artists makes that a much easier concept to grasp, because we're totally fine with saying that Michael Jackson and Mick Jagger and Adele and Whitney Houston are all great. They give us greatness, but in such different ways. But we don't try to use a metric to solve it, or Pavarotti, yeah, or, you know, whatever. Whereas with sports, because we're so used to acknowledging and assessing everything by numbers, we have trouble being okay with just saying that this greatness is about, like, them being artists in their sport and not just winners.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's some great stories in there, too, about some specifics of people overcoming expectations, whether it's Rocky Marciano or Garrincha, the soccer player who has one knee that goes in and one that goes out. I love those specifics that kind of defy our expectations. What's your hope for this film?
My hope is that as any filmmaker, that the more this film is shared with people and it can really make a difference in people's lives, both as a player, as a coach, and as a parent, and people who don't care about sports, that this film really has important messages to deliver, and that people can get a tremendous amount out of this film. And, you know, the struggle with the documentaries and any film for that matter that's sort of, you know, interesting is that it's just, you know, getting the film out there and making sure people are aware of it. I can guarantee you people see the film, they'll appreciate it, but it's that hard work of people sharing it and it actually getting out there into this crazy cluttered world.
More than ever of content. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. there's just so much of it. That it's, I don't know. I mean, you tell me what's the best.
Yeah, I can't
working.
Tell you. You're working on it. So I actually meant to ask you before I let you go.
But the point is that I want people to, and this is not a cheesy or cliche, but I really think that this film can lead to kind of a happier and healthier outlook on greatness and kind of, you know, human nature, you know, and people, and that's the whole point of it. Because I want people to not have the experience that I had necessarily, you know,
right,
eventually, and to have a more fruitful, better, richer experience in sport and be more well-rounded people growing up, and how our society will be healthier.
Yeah. Yeah, and also for people raising kids and young athletes,
yeah,
to kind of have it in the back of their heads as they're making their way through. I wanted to ask you before I let you go, because I was interested, the British voice with the quotes, is that all from one speech? Is that, or was that,
yeah,
someone,
no,
that you had
not
voice?
One speech. That's Alan Watts, who's a you know, fairly well-known Eastern philosopher. He's a British guy, but he's his skills were able to take these ideas that are somehow sometimes hard to put in words, the Eastern philosophy, but put them into sort of ideas that really kind of resonate and make sense. And Alan Watts, he's sort of a guy that I read a bit, you know, actually,
yeah,
as I was a hockey player, and sort of really helped. So
yeah,
so it's not one speech. It's a collection of different kind of sayings, you know.
Right. It was really interesting. It tied a lot of it together, and kind of, especially in the way of viewing everything as an art or a lifestyle versus just a sport. It was
exactly.
Anyway, I love the movie. I thought it was really fascinating. And thanks so much for taking some time to talk to me about it.
No, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck with it.
Okay, take care.
Oh, and another thing.
This week's That's What She Read is on a topic that is not altogether that new. We've read a lot of stories and a lot of first-person accounts from NFL players talking about what it's like after they retire, physically and mentally, the struggles that they go through. But just because we have heard a lot of these doesn't mean that we should stop reading and listening. And there's a really great piece by Nate Jackson that ran on Deadspin under the NFL broke former players like me, here's one way to fix us. And like I said, the physical deterioration, the post-retirement needs that we've heard about, you hear enough about it and maybe you start to become numb or you start to tune it out. But some of what Nate Jackson laid out in this piece is just massively important. And we can sort of no longer go on watching this sport and ignoring what its players are telling us about the health needs. And it isn't really about CTE so much as it is about what players go through as they try to find that post-career health coverage and they try to understand their options and how they aren't even able to use good insurance because of the barriers to understanding and setting it up. So it's a great read. It's on Deadspin.com by Nate Jackson. The NFL broke former players like me. Here's one way to fix us. Thanks, as always, for lasting about an hour with me.
That's what she said.